At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
All right, welcome in to Ticket Weeknights. This is the Husker Football Hour with Tom Chattel of the Omaha World Herald. Before we bring him in, again, if you guys want to join in, Facebook, YouTube, X, Allo, Channel 961. Filling in for DP here, at least for this week. But nonetheless, we'll still have Tom Chattel. And again, feel free to chime in, ask for some of your own questions. That number is 402-464-5685. All right, let's bring him in. Tom Chattel on the Allo VIP line. Really understand the importance of exceptional service. Tom Chattel, how's it going on this somewhat of a sour Monday?
Yeah, it's going good. You know, it took me 2 hours to get back from the game Friday night. It took me an hour to get out of Lincoln. And another hour, and it was just kind of added to the whole thing. But I think most people I interacted with all weekend kind of calmed down and had a good perspective on the thing. A lot of people got their hopes up, and I thought they'd win and play better, and didn't happen. And so here we are.
Yeah, sitting here 3-1. I want to shout out the volleyball team. They took care of business. Obviously, got things done. Put a smile on a lot of people's faces as they kind of woke up after SMU. But yeah, on this football program, before we even dive into the offense and what we saw on defense, I mean, did it feel like? And when I say we, I'm throwing myself in there. We as in the media, certainly on my part, and maybe you could argue it seeped into the locker room a little bit, but maybe we're starting to overlook Illinois. I mean, 2 seasons ago, they win 8 games. I know last year they only won 5, but they were a ranked opponent. Brett Bielema is a great head coach. About all his stops, you can question the Arkansas one. But it kind of feel like at a certain point, maybe this team was getting overlooked in Illinois.
Yeah, I think the question I had going into the game was, the level of play is going to go up. And I was looking at the quarterback. Well, how is he going to play when they've got a veteran, you know, a defensive coach who's seen everything, and he's going to throw a bunch of stuff at him. You know, how is Dylan Raiola going to play? And, it turned out to be the exact opposite. He played great and handled it. And nobody else, I mean, a lot of other people didn't handle the moment as well. So, I thought Rule had some telling comments today about they played tight. They still, you know, they got in a close game and they just kind of went back to not knowing how to win. And I think you start by giving Illinois credit. They were fired up to win that game. They came out talking trash, and they kind of carried it through the whole night. And Nebraska didn't have that energy. It wasn't Colorado energy. They needed Colorado energy in that game, and they're going to need that every game now. So. You know, I saw a team in Scarlet volleyball team a few weeks ago get swept to death by SMU, and they looked flat. I think that was probably a wake-up call. Is this going to be a wake-up call that's going to save Nebraska's football season?
Yeah, and, you know, when I watched that game, the second half, that defense in particular, it didn't look like they're playing hard. Just looked like they're incredibly frustrated. And the penalties certainly have to add to it. But missed assignments, guys, you know, putting their hands up a little more in the games prior where it felt like everybody was on page. Speaking on that offensive side of the ball, that offensive line, especially in that second half when they really had to start pushing the ball to try to get in scoring position, You know, were you surprised at how well a guy like Turner Corcoran, you know, even held up, kind of getting shoved into that role?
Yeah, they had tough duty because, you know, look, good old Brett Bielema, the old Fox, said, even though it's on Nebraska's home field, I'm going to take away the run. I'm going to load up the box and take away the run and make the hotshot kid beat us. And he almost did. Yeah. I'm not sure that's a strategy that will play well going forward with other schools, but, right now the best running game is going to be Dylan's arm to kind of loosen things up in the league. Then I like the running game if they're not going up against the numbers up front aren't to the opponent's advantage. You know, it's if they're outnumbered. I like Dowdell. I like him a lot, and I think the offensive line is better. It's all relative. I think this is a 6 or 7 win team. I don't think they have great talent. They have good talent, but they don't have a lot of great talent. Certainly have enough to win that game last Friday night. But they didn't play well. I thought they got outcoached. I don't think that Nebraska had an answer for a lot of stuff. Certainly the passing game did, but defensively they didn't have any answers. There was always an open Illinois receiver, and that's Illinois is they have a nice team, but they don't have great offensive skill talent. I mean, so these guys were wide open. So it's just one of those nights, and yet they still could have won, right? You make a play here or there, and they, or a kick, but that today rule talked about, he kind of slipped this in. He said a lot of Mondays are great. He really explains things and really gets into stuff. And he just kind of threw this in there in the middle about, basically not being surprised because this is the second year, or this is year two. And I don't think it was meant to be an excuse. It's just, he knows what this is like. It's just reality, and the roster's not set yet. It's better, and the quarterback makes him a lot better at that position. But it's still in progress. So again, they still could have won that game the other night. But it's a margin of, the margin for error is not great. If they don't show up and play well and get out there, and yes, they did play hard. They played, but they didn't play with the kind of purpose you need to execute things. And defensively, it was just kind of a mess at times. That offense, nobody coming into that game thought that offense was going to run up and down the field on Nebraska. So, after I watched KU a couple of times, I thought, well, I don't think KU is quite as good. Illinois, had to go down to the end to beat them. So, but as it turns out, Nebraska, UTEP, Colorado, and Northern Iowa. So, well, we didn't know much about them yet either. But now we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I had to kind of summarize the game, I think you're right. It's a silver lining. You managed to go to overtime when it feels like everybody in the stadium thought this was not a great showing from Nebraska. But it really did just come down to a few key moment plays where Nebraska failed to execute. You can point to the missed field goal. You can go ahead and point to the touchdown pass that ended up being an interception from Illinois, which, give credit to Illinois for making a phenomenal play on the ball. You can point to the penalties. You can point to the offensive line or the defense in that, what might have been one of the shortest overtimes I've watched in a long time. I mean, for Illinois, it was a couple plays they scored for Nebraska. Penalties and out, right out of the gate. when you're looking at this offense, Dylan Raiola, I don't think anybody's pointing the fingers at him or necessarily anybody individually, but 24 for 35, just short of 300 yards, three touchdowns with a long of 44, takes five sacks in that game. I mean, we can't really be asking too much more from Dylan Raiola. It feels like that part of the game where we're finally confident. So what are these final links in this offense? Because, again, I think you're right that we're not have the skill. So if we're like Georgia, if we don't play well, we can still find us to win. If we don't play well, these teams in the Big Ten are going to beat us. What are you some of those missing links on offense that you feel like we're just not quite taking advantage of right now?
Well, start with the injury to Alvano is it's not good. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a kicker, that's certainly not presenting Hall, but I mean, it changes play calling, and it changes. You have to score. You have to get down there quick. You know, really close. I mean, I thought the silver lining was, I thought one of the great things about the game, maybe the best thing from the Nebraska standpoint, was seeing what Raiola did. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't know how he would handle it. Again, he handled it the night better than anybody. And, his talent, I mean, people across the country were just shaking their heads like, I mean, there were NFL scouts on Twitter going, you know, this guy's a first rounder. I can't wait to see what he's like in 3 or 4 years. I mean, he's a stud, and we have to watch him, you know, develop before our eyes. And, you know, what else is he going to come up with? They have to help him. They have to block. Mm-hmm. I thought they did. The sacks kind of, over time, it just got out of control, and I think Illinois changed. They got out of the zone, and they got back into man, and went after him. But other teams will do that too. I think, again, I don't expect teams to load up the box to run and just stop the run like Illinois did. If they do, Nebraska really has to make them pay, and they have to make it hurt, so that they don't do that ever again. And that'll open up the running game. So I think a lot of the talent on offense is there. It's just I'm not sure the offense was even really a problem the other night. They couldn't run it, and that was that offensive line. And you know, I guess you could throw two tight ends in there. And try to do it that way, but they just weren't going to move Illinois out of there. They just don't have the line to do that, I don't think. And they weren't going to run too much. But again, I think watching the quarterback, that's a guy they haven't had in a long time. Mm-hmm. And again, like I said, he's the best passing quarterback I've ever seen at Nebraska. And some of the stuff he did Friday night, there was one pass he threw over, and there were two defenders maybe 10 or 15 yards apart. He threw over the top of one and in front of the other. It just dropped this little pass in there. It was just beautiful to watch. And he just does that with ease. And so I came out of that game going, okay, this one hurts, but I'm optimistic because I think he's not acting like a freshman.
Yeah, and he's shown his ability to throw, you know, against any of the coverages that Illinois was trying to show. They were switching, like you said, between man and zone quite a bit, trying to get him guessing, having to think a little bit more on that pocket. And, you know, he was cutting up just about anything. If he had the time in the pocket, he looked really good identifying where that ball needs to go. We've had quarterbacks in the past. You know, Adrian Martinez, he was a phenomenal quarterback, but in that second year in particular, teams realized he really struggled to throw against zone. You're right, and Dylan Raiola was just a really impressive performance, and it does give you a lot of hope for this offense. You just got to hope that defense can hold strong and give them better chance where they're not forced to try to pick it up out of rhythm. But, I mean, defense special teams. I think it's fair to say you lose those two phases of the game. And you mentioned the kicker. Are you a little bit surprised that, you know, in year two, we're still kind of seeing these same special teams issues where the kick return team looks leaky at times? The field goal kicker, I mean, if it's 30 yards plus, we're never super confident that it's going to be a sure go-ahead. You're surprised to see this in year two, knowing that it was a problem in year one that needed to be addressed.
Yeah, I think it's an injury. I mean, you know, once you have an injury to a kicker, I don't know how many programs have two or three guys lined up to kick. You know, some do, but they aren't there yet. But they didn't expect an injury. And, you know, Tristan, you know, he had a couple of issues in spring, and just, you know, he was having to work through that. Maybe, you know, maybe that's when the injury was happening. I just don't know if he's going to come back. Is they going to have to like shut him down this year? Or I don't think they're at that point yet. But no, I think that they, yeah, the coverage stuff is, that's got to get better. And, you know, part of the issue with the other night was the wind. You got to kick it out of the end zone. They're having a hard time with that with the wind when they had were going up against it. So, but, you know, it was a field day for the second guessers like me who thought that they should have run the ball when it was like 3rd and 3 and at the end of the game. And I frankly thought a pass was okay. I was trying to run against those guys. I thought it'd be easier to pass. It just they just missed it. So it's one loss, and everything's still on schedule. And they can't afford to get off schedule again. But just got to get the defense. Two games in a row now, they haven't tackled well. I mean, I don't know what's going on there, and I wonder if they need to, somebody against some of these quarterbacks, if they need to use creative ways to get some pressure, because they didn't seem to be getting any last week.
Yeah, and that's 2 weeks in a row, you know, where the coaches even mentioned it. The yards after first contact have just been piling up. You and I, they kind of exposed that a little bit, that maybe Nebraska isn't as strong in terms of tackling as we might have thought. And then Illinois certainly exposed that. Off, you know, on top of them just having some really great run blocking and, you know, forcing Nebraska's defense, those corner safeties, to have to make some tough open field tackles. But it's just kind of been a theme in these two games in a row now. We're a little bit surprised by Nebraska's defense to certainly tackle. Do you expect Tony White to get this patched up by Purdue? Purdue likes to run a lot of outside zone. I'll stretch it out a little bit. Do you expect Tony White to be able to get this dialed in? I mean, we're working with a lot of the same guys of last year, and, you know, that problem rarely reared its head.
Yeah, I think, you know, that it's really better get it figured out this week. I'm on board with the whole year two thing, but tackling doesn't take 2 years. Now, it's a habit. You know, all of these things are habits. But these guys tackled well last year, I thought. I don't think defense was really the issue last year. So I don't know what's going on. If, you know, Rule mentioned today that looking ahead to what the record's going to be. And, you know, a lot of people were saying 7-0. And the worst thing that could have happened it was on the Kirk Herbstreit say 7-0. And then last week he actually doubled down on that statement, saying, you know, he believed after the, you know, the first three games that they would definitely go undefeated, going to Ohio State. So they aren't at that point where they can believe any of that crap. They just can't. So they got to go. The Big Ten, it's long, long past time to take this league for granted. I mean, all these people that were saying 7-0, assuming that they would beat Illinois and Purdue and Indiana and Rutgers. Those are the teams that they've been losing to the last 10 years. I mean, as I said, these other teams like Indiana and Purdue and Rutgers and Illinois, they see Nebraska as the team that they can beat. You know, so they see Nebraska as the team that, okay, well, that should be a W. So I don't know where people are getting all this. They haven't won more than five games since 2016. So you know, all of a sudden they're going to win seven in a row. So, but that's what we do. That's what sports writers do with fans. We look at the schedule. We put down, you know, what we think is going to happen. But you can't do that in the Big Ten. You've got to respect it. You've got to respect every team. You know, this is a tough one. You know, Purdue will come out brawling this week after two straight losses. You know, their season's not going the way they thought. And then, you know, Rutgers will be a really tough out. As now, all of a sudden, Indiana's on fire. So they've got to get a lot of things right going into this week. And, you know, I think this is a game where it's 11 a.m. I think it'd be good for them to go on the road.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I kind of get away from everything and just kind of band together in the hotel and all that stuff. It's 11 a.m. You don't expect Boiler crowd to be, you know, I've been there. It's, it can be a good atmosphere. It's not intimidating. And again, coming off 2 losses, 11 a.m., you know, I think Nebraska could really use a fast start and just kind of calm things down there. But yeah, they're going to have to come out fighting because, you know, our Purdue's trying to save their season right now.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that on their side as we got to throw it to our first break here, is just kind of recalibrating the sites because, yeah, you mentioned it. You can even throw Joe Klatt out there. The amount of hype around Nebraska was hitting national attention, and for some reasons with Dylan Raiola, it makes sense, and for others, we haven't beat a lot of these teams. And in the Big Ten, you know, even if you got the better talent, there's so many great coaches that they can scheme their way to a win even if they got lesser talent. So certainly something we got to keep in mind, keeping away the Kool-Aid a little bit and watching this team actually do it before we start writing on the wall. I mean, we're even hearing 12-team playoff conversations, which is kind of hard to believe. So with that being said, we'll throw it to break here. We got Tom Chattel of the Omaha World Herald on the ILO VIP line. So don't go anywhere. We'll keep it rolling, but keep in mind, we got NFL on the brick and mortar coming up. So use the streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, ILO Channel 961. We'll keep it rolling. Talk to you guys on the other side. All right, welcome back in to the Husker Football Hour with Tom Chattel of the Omaha World Herald. Harrison Arns filling in for DP. And if you guys want to join in, use the Starter Heyman text line 402-464-5685 or use the streams. All right, let's go ahead and bring him back in. Like I said, we got Tom Chattel of the Omaha World Herald. I want to talk about recalibrating the sights here because you did mention some of the expectation as national attention got towards Nebraska. Some people are saying 7-0. Some people were even flirting with the idea of Nebraska getting into this new 12-team playoff. How do we recalibrate from here? Because I do think a lot of people, if you would have said you're 3-1 at this point, most people would actually take that. They won't maybe be super happy, but that means, A, you beat Colorado or you beat Illinois. Either way, you only dropped likely one of those games. So recalibrating from here, what is a reasonable expectation for Nebraska fans on a win total?
Well, I think a lot of the excitement happened because they beat Colorado. And the way they knows who they beat and the way they beat them. So everybody, they got ranked. And then people started getting, you know, getting excited. There are people, you know, and when I say people picking them 7-0, that was not the majority of Husker fans. Mm-hmm. I would say the majority were probably hoping to get 6 or 7. And if they got better than that, they'd take it. So I think most people are still fine and understand that it's going to be a game once in a while. It's just, you know, you get your hopes up, right? And so people went into the Friday night, you know, Illinois, you know, they beat them last year. Kind of had a, you know, again, it was a wake-up call. We saw it with volleyball, and that's a different standard. They're talking about national championships. But for Nebraska football, a good reminder that every game has to be Colorado. I don't care who you're playing. Every game has to be that effort, that kind of concentration and execution. And I'm going to watch this have to see it as we go forward, but you know, when does Dylan take over? When does he become the fire? You know, the guy who puts everybody and keeps everybody in line. This is usually the senior's job. When is he that guy who, by the way he plays and gets things done, become the sort of heart and soul of this thing, and the, you know, the fire. His old man had plenty of fire, and you know, there was never, you know, Dominic Raiola never played tight in his life. You know, he was always loose, and he was usually on top of you, you know, trying to bury you into the ground. So, and just interesting to hear Rule today talk about the freshman as if he was an older guy, and he, you know, he was the guy out there trying to make it happen, trying to get everybody going. And so I'm going to watch that as a sort of a thing to, you know, sort of a sideline story, you know, it's a sideline story as we go forward here, because, you know, it's being in all those tight games. I do get it. I'm a golfer. You know, we get the yips, I get the shanks, and I keep thinking about how I'm going to shank it. And I get over the ball on a big shot, I'm not thinking about how I'm going to hole it. I'm thinking about how am I going to screw this up. And so how do you get past that? Well, I don't think Tiger Woods ever had that. Well, maybe he had some problems with some chipping a few years ago, but I mean, talent gets things done. You know, if there's going to be a breakthrough to the other side, winning close games, it's going to be talent. And I think it's going to be the quarterback. And he almost, by God, did it Friday night. So I think, is he the Ghostbuster here, the guy that gets him to the other side? It's going to be interesting to watch, but I think you know, he's kind of taken over already. It's fun.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's crazy to even have this conversation, because I think before the season started, I would have been saying that's too much. But I mean, he's proven it in every game. And let's say this Illinois, even though it was a loss, just the way how Illinois wanted to play Nebraska defensively, he still shined in a really good way, and along with our tight ends, along with the receivers. Obviously, outside of that one dropped pass that ended up turning it into an interception. But Dylan Rayl has proven that he can be a leader on this offensive side of the ball. Have you liked how Satterfield has tried to implement him in this offense so far? The UTEP game was a little interesting because it wasn't too flashy. Colorado, you know, they really just had a lot of success running the ball, even though he still made some great plays. You and I, more of the same. But Illinois, we saw a really strong sign that Satterfield's going to go ahead and trust him to sling the rock. You know, do you like Satterfield, the way he's calling this? And do you think we're going to see more of Dylan Rayl going forward on a more pass-heavy offense if it's available?
Yeah, you know, I wrote this earlier in August that for Run the Damn Ball guy, it was this was going to be a very frustrating thing because Satterfield loves to throw it. And he's got all the toys. He's got more toys than last year. And he's got people that can throw and catch. And you might say that that's the strength of their offense. I think that they're very capable of running. I love the two running backs they use. I love those guys. We heard Rule, but, you know, if you're going to load up the box and take away the run, you know, Satterfield says it's perfect. That's what I want to do anyway. I want to throw it. So, but today, you know, Rule said this was very interesting that even though we may be doing a good job moving the ball on the air, we still have to try to run it and try to wear people down. So, you know, he's the head coach. He will, you know, he's in charge. So, you know, we will see about that going forward. But it's always an interesting question. Just because they load the box doesn't mean you can't run it. Well, Nebraska always had that option. You can load it up, but they're going to spread you out eventually. And so, you know, just because they load the box doesn't mean you don't keep trying to run and pound on the wall until it breaks down. I don't know that Nebraska has that kind of offense or even that kind of offensive line, but it's you know, they didn't get much done on the ground last week, and I think they're going to have to do better if they're going to start winning games again.
Yeah, it's, you know, running the ball works great and well and all, but you got to have the offensive line that proves they can do it at a consistent basis to where you're not wasting downs, getting behind schedule. And then obviously the penalties that showed up in an ugly way versus Illinois, more so than it has at any other game this season. Just some really, you know, blowing your toes off kind of plays where, you know, defense isn't doing anything other than you just making miscues mentally. So again, when it comes to that run, like if we can be dominant in it, great. If it can be an accent to the passing game, you know, or the other way around, you know, if the passing game can be an accent to our run game, fantastic. But we got to have an offensive line that is able to push defenses around. And Illinois, you know, I kind of circled that. I'll be curious to see how this offensive line continues to gel. Obviously, Mazuka, if he gets back in the mix, what does that look like? You know, Matt Rule made some comments about him as well. But if we're going to nitpick anything about Dylan Rayl, you know, I thought he had a fantastic game. Hard to ask him to do anything else. You know, do you have any worries about him? I even shouldn't say worries, but do you see opportunities for him to run more and go ahead and just take the green space in front of him? He hasn't shown that. I don't know if it is a really big part of his game. In high school, he was able to do it, but obviously D1 football is a whole other animal.
Yeah, I would make a living on it. I think it's okay once in a while. He's done it a few times, and he always seems to bounce back up. When I was watching for him, okay, get up now. Come on, get up. He bounces right back up. I'm fine. I got it. But, you know, you worry about that time where he slides wrong or plants his foot wrong or, you know, it's unnecessary. You know, I you don't want to take a sack, but you don't need him to run that much, if anything. So does it keep people honest? Not necessarily, because they know he's not very great at it. So they know he's not going to run that much. And so they're not going to be worried about it too much. I just do all you can to get the right protection packages in there. Make sure those running backs are blocking, not like overtime. Here they come, you know. So just keep him upright in the pocket, and he's going to get the job done. So, I don't think the running quarterback. I like the Harburg angle. Let's get him back. I think he should be a bigger part of the offense. So there's a guy who can run. They had him throwing a pass back to Raiola that game, but there's a guy I would use maybe on a jet sweep or throw him a pass and let him go on a screen or some kind of deal like that, where he becomes sort of like an H-back or a tight end type of guy, a sort of a hybrid, running back, tight end, receiver type of guy. He's got wheels. So rather than Raiola run, I'd rather have Harburg out there doing all the damage.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And the packages with Harburg, for the most part, have been pretty successful. And he kind of reminds me of Taylor Martinez, just only purely in the way that doesn't look like the freakiest athlete, but when they get that dead end straight ahead speed and they get a few steps to fully gather, they become tough guys to try to find an angle on. I think Harburg's breakaway speed can surprise people, especially, if he's got the power to drop that first defender and it's a while before that safety, corner, whoever can get over there. He's proven that he can break away speed despite being, one of those bigger athletes out there. All right, with that being said, we'll throw it to our final break. And on the other side, we do got to talk about the other Raiola. Obviously got a 2026 QB commit from Dillon's Brothers. So we're going to talk about that and just overall how this QB class is starting to shape up here. So don't go anywhere. We're going to keep it rolling. The Tom Chattel Husker Football Hour right here on 93.7 The Ticket. All right, welcome back in. Wrapping things up here on the Husker Football Hour with the Omaha World Herald's very own Tom Chattel. And to wrap things up here, we only got about 5 minutes. And I want to get to this, as I forgot to bring it up in that previous segment. Tom Chattel, I'm curious, just from the stadium sights and sounds, you don't have to look very far to figure out that Nebraska in overtime has been pretty abysmal in these past 9-10 years. Could you kind of feel that when it got to overtime, even before those two big massive plays from Illinois to start things off, or maybe you could just feel the stadium hold their breath?
Yeah, I think it when they missed the field goal and didn't get that touchdown, it just felt like Illinois was just making more plays. But I still felt like the problem in overtime is that they couldn't run it. So at some point, when you're inside the 25, you're gonna have to get some yards on the ground. Should they have taken offense first? I don't know. I don't know that it would have mattered. I just felt like they weren't they were 10 cup on the driving range hitting the little dribblers down the line of the other golfers. I mean, they got in a tight spot. They didn't think they could do it. So, totally different vibe than in Colorado, where they felt like everything was working. They got hit in the mouth and they didn't respond the right way. So, but again, there's something, the rule is it's the coach's job to get these guys over the finish line. But there's something about losing, sometimes the best teacher is losing. So these guys are competitors. If they've had enough, they'll step up.
Yeah, I mean, there's your adversity for you early in the season. You definitely make the argument that if there's time to learn, the better the earlier. So hopefully, if you're a Nebraska fan, that adversity only helps them out in the future and will certainly help, even a team like Purdue. Nebraska, once again, opens up as a favorite. I think most fans have certainly learned if they're drinking a lot of the Rule-Aid, Kool-Aid, whatever you want to call it, let's just go 1-0 and stop circling games in the future. All right, let's talk about Dayton Raiola. Already commits to Nebraska for the class of 2026. You're looking at these classes. We also got TJ Lateef, another highly touted quarterback in that 2025 class. We still got Danny Kalen, who's redshirting right now, part of that 2024 class with Dylan Raiola. You know, when it comes to Dayton, I think he's about 5'11". Good chance he's still growing. But what do you kind of see in his game, and how similar is it to a guy in Dylan Raiola? I know it's 2026, plenty of things can happen, but with the connections with the Raiola's here at Nebraska and everywhere, and part of his statements why he chose Nebraska, it feels like it should be not a tons of twists and turns like we've seen in the past, in particular with Danny Kalen. You know, what do you kind of see in Dayton Raiola, and how similar is that game to his brother?
Yeah, I got to be honest. I don't follow the recruiting like some people, so I have not seen him play. I just know the last name, and if certainly they wanted him, he's got game. So I like the way they go after the quarterbacks. It's a very competitive position. Yes, not everybody stays. Some, you know, but you got to have, you know, a lot of depth there. It's going to matter. And you know, what I'm really interested in, especially after this season, is now that people have had a look at Nebraska's quarterback, who wants to come play with them? How many guys are going to line up in the portal to come here? You know, the NIL is good, and you got a chance to play with this guy for at least, you know, a couple of years or so. It's going to be fascinating. I think it's going to give them a chance to really add on to the roster going into the next season. But certainly recruiting is important. I'm an old school guy. I always loved offensive linemen. I think the quarterbacks, certainly very important. They've changed the game, but you better take care of that offensive line. They better, and they have been. You've got to build that up. Offensive line and defensive line going forward in this league, you got to have studs up front. And so, yes, I love the quarterbacks, but I'd like to see them as well get the big time lineman in there.
Yeah, nobody in the state of Nebraska is going to disagree with you there. All right, Tom, she tells me wrap things up. Where can the people follow you on Twitter if they want to go ahead and do that and give you a follow?
Yeah, it's Chattel at OWH, whatever the Twitter, it's not .com, it's just at Tom Chattel OWH. So I did that. I joined Twitter a long time ago, and that's what I came up with. So nothing fancy.
Easy enough to find, though, right? All right. Yeah. Nonetheless, appreciate the time. Tom Chattel, like I said, of the Omaha World Herald, wrap things up with him. Go ahead, give him a follow on X, Twitter, whichever one you want to call it. And we'll talk to him again next week. Tom Chattel, appreciate the time.
Thanks.
All right, that's going to do it. Like I said, once again, appreciate the time from Tom Chattel of the Omaha World Herald, as always. But don't go anywhere. Keep things rolling on Ticket Weeknights. Demorne Pierce-Snell, the former Husker wide receiver, special teams threat. Speaking of special teams, he's probably had plenty of things to say about this Illinois game. Maybe talk about the Raiders, too. I don't know if I want to bother him that much about his Oakland Raiders, but they give the Panthers their first win of the season. So plenty of things to talk about with the former Husker. Up next, right on Ticket Weeknights.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.